We're now going to proceed with a very, very important article from the current issue of Covert Action Information Bulletin. That issue is issue number 35, and that is the Covert Action Information Bulletin is a quarterly. This is their issue for the fall of 1990. For those of you who would like to subscribe to Covert Action or at least obtain this issue, the address for Covert Action Information Bulletin is P.O. Box 34583, Box 34583, Washington, D.C., 20043. Once again, Covert Action Information Bulletin, P.O. Box 34583, Washington, D.C., 20043. Now, one of the things that I believe is going on at the present time, in addition to what I have described about the U.S. military adventure in the Middle East as, in essence, a flanking maneuver against the Soviet Union. This has projected U.S. military power onto the Soviet southern flank, and even if it does not remain there, and it's certainly going to remain there in some form for some time, it will, because of the political changes made there, make it easier for the U.S. to effect a similar rapid military buildup in the future in the event of a confrontation, a military confrontation with the Soviet Union. My feeling is that the U.S. meddling in and destabilization of the Baltic states, and we're going to go into that right now, represents a similar maneuver on the Soviets' northern flank. Now, it should be noted that the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and we're going to talk about Lithuania, which is the center for the independence movements for the various dissident Soviet republics, that the Baltic states represent an absolutely critical military area for the Soviet Union. The Baltic states basically give the Soviets their only warm water ports, and the loss of the Baltic states through independence, even if the Baltic states were not hostile to the Soviets, and as we're going to see, there's indication that would be the case, the loss of the Baltics would be very devastating to the Soviet strategic position because it would enable NATO naval forces to operate with relative impunity in the Baltic Sea and on the Soviets' northern flank. Not only the very powerful air forces of the U.S., very powerful naval air forces of the U.S. carrier fleet, but also the cruise missiles, the Tomahawk missiles, which can carry nuclear warheads, which are carried by a number of American surface ships, not to mention U.S. submarines, would be able to operate with much greater effectiveness on the Soviets' northern flank than they otherwise would be. That would obviously greatly compromise the Soviets' military and strategic position. Because of that, the Soviets can be figured not to lose the Baltics, quote-unquote, under any circumstances. It should be noted that the Baltic states were obtained by the Soviet Union as a result of the Hitler-Stalin Pact, which the U.S. has never recognized. The Hitler-Stalin Pact, which has been widely criticized, is not, in my opinion, it may have been, it certainly was tough politically on some people, but it was a relatively intelligent military maneuver by Stalin. His failure to anticipate the German military invasion, the German attack, Operation Barbarossa in 1941, was a major failing of Stalin's as a military leader without even attempting to assess him as a political figure. Certainly, he was not exactly what one would term a social director. I think a lot of the things Stalin did, he really did not have a whole lot of choice in doing, but he certainly is not my model for a political leader. Nonetheless, I think, at least in certain respects, he has received a bad rap, and I think one of the things that he has received a bad rap about was his alliance with Hitler. To make a long story short, when Stalin was unable to put together an anti-Nazi coalition, he was trying to form alliances with various states to block Hitler's eastward expansion. When he was unable to do that, he signed a pact with Hitler, and in exchange for the non-aggression pact, he not only got a guarantee of Soviet hegemony in the Baltic states, which gave him, which strengthened the Soviets' northern flank, he also was ceded the eastern part of Poland, and also the province of Bessarabia, now known as Moldavia. This basically strengthened the Soviets' defensive position, and inasmuch as ultimately the German armies wound up being stalled on the outskirts of Leningrad, Stalingrad, and Moscow, the Soviets' three largest cities, and most military analysts agree that had those three cities fallen, the Soviets would have lost the Second World War. The Hitler-Stalin Pact, from a pure military defensive standpoint, makes a considerable amount of sense. The U.S. has not ever recognized that, and there are indications that they're attempting to undo that particular alliance at the moment. It should be noted that with the erosion of Soviet, not erosion, but virtual elimination of Soviet military influence in Eastern Europe, the loss of their cordon sanitaire, their buffer zone with the West, and with the increased U.S. political and military presence on the Soviet southern flank, the potential loss of the Baltics, and quite possibly the breakup of the Soviet Union, is certainly going to be deeply terrifying to the Soviet political and military leadership, and the Soviet military has also indicated, and the KGB have also indicated, they will not stand by and allow the Soviet Union to be broken up. It is a safe bet because of the enormously compromised strategic situation that the loss of the Baltics would place the Soviets in. They will not stand for the loss of the Baltics. It is my belief that U.S. meddling in Lithuania, which has become the center for independence agitation within not only the Baltic states, but also other potentially secessionist Soviet republics, it is my belief that the U.S. meddling, which we're going to look at here, and specifically the resurgence of fascist forces in Lithuania with U.S. sponsorship, that this is intended, like the Soviet, like the U.S. move, rather, into the Middle East on the Soviet southern flank, to destabilize the Soviet Union by representing, by basically threatening the compromising of their northern flank and the critical compromising of their strategic situation. Soviet naval forces would be greatly hampered by the loss of the Baltics. I believe that what we are about to go into as well represents an attempt by the U.S. to, again, provoke a hardline reaction by the USSR in order to assure continued high levels of Soviet military spending with resulting economic and political destabilization of the Soviet Union, also continued high levels of U.S. military spending with the attendant billions of dollars in profits that our post-World War II defense industries have grown accustomed to, I would even go to so far as to say addicted to. We're now going to go into a very important and very terrifying article that once again is carried in Covert Action Information Bulletins, issue number 35 from the fall of 1990. This is an article entitled NED Meddles in Lithuania. That's subtitled NED, that stands for the National Endowment for Democracy, a very inappropriately named organization, as we shall see, but NED meddles in Lithuania. Its full title is Nurturing Baltic Reaction. The author is Philip Bonosky, B-O-N-O-S-K-Y. The bio information on Bonosky is as follows. Philip Bonosky was born of Lithuanian immigrant parents and has made frequent trips to Lithuania. He recorded some of his impressions in the book Beyond the Borders of Myth, New York, Praxis Publishers, 1970. And in this particular article, Philip Bonosky goes into not only the very obvious and apparently ongoing U.S. involvement with the Lithuanian independence movement, and it should be noted that it was a recent Soviet military crackdown in the Baltic states, but beyond that, it points out the enormous residual Third Reich political activity inside Lithuania under U.S. sponsorship, the main vehicle for residual Third Reich activity inside of Lithuania, are two closely linked organizations, the New York-based Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, LCRA, and the Lithuanian Information Center, or LIC. The LCRA and the LIC are very closely linked here. They, in turn, have received heavy funding from the NED, the National Endowment for Democracy, an inappropriately named organization, which has basically been used by U.S. intelligence and the military to interfere in the affairs of foreign countries for quite some time. We're going to begin reading this particular article, once again subheaded NED Meddles in Lithuania, Nurturing Baltic Reaction by Philip Bonosky. It reads, we're not going to read absolutely all of the article, but the vast bulk of it. the first section here, some history of Lithuania is gone into, and in particular, the descriptions of those two organizations, LCRA and LIC, are laid out. In April of 1990, the Soviet Republic of Lithuania startled the world by declaring itself independent of the USSR. The U.S. has not yet recognized Lithuania as independent, and Bush's political remarks have been moderate. But beneath this facade of calm statecraft, there runs a familiar current of silent U.S. involvement in the political affairs of another country. The most visible intervention has been via the National Endowment for Democracy, or NED, which has supplied funds, equipment, and advice to the principal nationalist opposition party, Sąjūdis, spelled S-A-G-U-D-I-S. I would interrupt here. There are a number of Lithuanian names here that I'm going to be reading. My Lithuanian is non-existent. I may be mispronouncing some of these names. The listeners will bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can, but I've never heard most of these words spoken aloud, so I'm going to basically shoot from the hip if I incorrectly mispronounce many of these names, and I'd be willing to bet I do. Well, don't shoot the piano player. He's doing the best he can. So I'm going to improvise on the pronunciation of these Lithuanian names. Continuing. NED has chosen to funnel its Lithuanian aid through one organization, the New York-based Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, or LCRA, and its propaganda arm, the Lithuanian Information Center, or LIC. These two organizations are run by arch-conservative Catholic clergy. The founder, current board chair, and the man who has, quote, presided over the steady growth and increasing effectiveness, unquote, of LCRA, Bishop Vincentas Burgess, and his name is spelled V-I-N-C-E-N-T-A-S, and Burgess, and I'm not sure how that's pronounced, is B-R-I-Z-G-Y-S, was allegedly a Nazi collaborator during World War II. One more time, the founder, current board chair, and the man who has, quote, presided over the steady growth and increasing effectiveness of LCRA, Bishop Vincentas Burgess, was allegedly a Nazi collaborator during World War II. Burgess vehemently denies the charge. Sąjūdis itself is linked in a variety of ways to the symbols and sentiments of the fascist and Nazi periods in Baltic history. And we're now going to go into, in the next section, those Nazi and fascist periods. Lithuania lies on the eastern shore of the Baltic Sea, bordered on the south by Poland, on the north by the Latvian SSR, and on the east by the Belarusian SSR. It is the westernmost extent of the Soviet Union, with a population, as of 1980, of just over 3 million. In the 14th century, invading Germans conquered the area and imposed the Catholic faith. In the modern era, Lithuania has been repeatedly buffeted by the shifting political and military map of Europe. Lithuania declared independence from Tsarist Russia in 1918, but in 1926, the Nationalist Party took power through a military coup. Declaring himself president, Augustas Voldemaris, A-U-G-U-S-T-U-S-V-O-L-D-E-M-A-R-E-S, and his premier, Antanas Smetona, A-N-T-A-N-A-S-S-M-E-T-O-N-A, shaped Lithuania into Europe's second fascist state, based explicitly on the example of Mussolini's Italy. That last sentence again. Declaring himself, let me read those last two sentences again. Lithuania declared independence from Tsarist Russia in 1918, but in 1926, the Nationalist Party took power through a military coup. Declaring himself president, Augustas Voldemaris and his premier, Antanas Smetona, shaped Lithuania into Europe's second fascist state, based explicitly on the example of Mussolini's Italy. Lithuania remained a dictatorship until 1939, when Smetona fled to the U.S., and a new parliament voted unanimously to become a constituent republic of the USSR. With the German invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941, Lithuania's nationalists returned briefly to power and assisted the Nazis in the swift, systematic slaughter of more than 130,000 Lithuanian Jews, communists, and other, quote, undesirables, unquote. let's sum up this particular section, because it's important that we understand this before we proceed into the rest of the article. First of all, the main vehicles, and they are interrelated, for the U.S. covert action inside Lithuania are the Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, or LCRA, and the Lithuanian Information Center, or LIC, they in turn being used by the National Endowment for Democracy. It should be noted here, perhaps in this context, that in Radio Free America number 17, we went into the long-standing pattern of cooperation between elements of the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and fascism. This is not meant as an impugnment of the Catholic faith. As I pointed out extensively in that particular broadcast, one should not equate the Vatican with Catholicism any more than you should equate the White House with the United States as a whole. But it's worth noting in this context. It's worth noting again that Lithuania had been part of the Russian Empire for many years. It declared its independence in 1918 when the Bolshevik Revolution occurred. In 1926, the Nationalist Party, about which we will say more in a minute, took power, and that the Nationalist Party specifically shaped Lithuania into the second European fascist state, specifically modeled on the example of Mussolini's Italy. By the way, we went into Mussolini's fascist state, the corporate state, in Uncle Sam and Il Duce, subtitled American Support for Mussolini and the Mythology of the Corporate State. So mainly we want to bear in mind here Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid and the Lithuanian Information Center, their support from the NED, the National Endowment for Democracy, and bear in mind Lithuania's explicitly fascist path actually appropriate, because as we're going to see, Lithuania's past and Lithuania's present are converging in a very disturbing fashion. Continuing with the description of how NED has become involved in Lithuania. In April of 1990, a 34-year-old American, William J.H. Huff, H-O-U-G-H III, was very busy in Lithuania. Huff was sent to Lithuania, although he doesn't speak Lithuanian, as legal advisor to Vytautas Landsbergis, the leader of the Nationalist Party. By the way, the leader's name is Vytautas Landsbergis. That last sentence again. In April of 1990, a 34-year-old American, William J.H. Huff III, was very busy in Lithuania. Huff was sent to Lithuania, although he doesn't speak Lithuanian, as legal advisor to Vytautas Landsbergis, the leader of the Nationalist Party. He was recommended by LCRA-LIC, which the U.S. press has cited as very enthusiastic about his work. Cooperating closely with Huff, LCRA-LIC has supplied Sejudis with paper, photocopy machines, computers, laser printers, fax machines, and video cameras. With additional political and technical expertise, Vilnius quickly became a communications hub for secessionist forces in Lithuania and other Soviet republics. And I would note in that context, on the back of this issue of Covert Action Information Bulletin, there is a photograph of members of the Ukrainian Nationalist Organization arriving in Vilnius to voice their support for independence. The OUN-UPA we went into in Radio Free America shows 1. We went back into it in 14 and 15, as well as in the miscellaneous archive show Nazis and Anti-Semites on George Bush's campaign. That was a major organization which cooperated first with the Third Reich and later with the Galen Organization, CIA, and the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Continuing with Banovsky's article about nurturing Baltic reaction, talking about William J.H. Huff. Professionally, Huff is a lawyer. He was also an editor of the New York Law School Journal of International and Comparative Law, which published in its winter 1985 issue his book-length article entitled, quote, "The Annexation of the Baltic States and Its Effect on the Development of Law Prohibiting Forcible Seizure of Territory." Huff describes the interwar period of Lithuanian history as one of, quote, "political and constitutional stability," unquote, and again quoting, "progress toward the restoration of full democracy." Just how ludicrous that interwar period of Lithuanian history, that description of Lithuanian interwar history. I think it's, in light of the fact that this was a fascist state modeled on Mussolini's Italy, I think it's pretty clear that Huff has some very serious biases. Just how serious those biases are, we are about to see. For that last sentence again, Huff describes the interwar period of Lithuanian history as one of, quote, political and constitutional stability, unquote, and again quoting, progress toward the restoration of full democracy, unquote. He fails to mention the collaboration of nationalists and Nazis. In his public justifications of secession, Landsbergis has frequently referred to Huff's interpretation of Lithuanian history. Huff's history of Lithuania must be reassuring to NED's ideologues and their Lithuanian clients, some of whom share a past they might reasonably prefer to forget. Interesting footnote to that passage about Huff and some of his past associations. Huff worked from 1986 to 1987 as law clerk to then-New Hampshire Supreme Court Justice David Souter, recently confirmed as Bush's first appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know how significant that association is, but it certainly doesn't make me feel very good about David Souter, the unknown who's now an associate Supreme Court Justice. So again, in this particular period, we're looking in this particular section here before we move on. William J.H. Huff is the individual who is operating on behalf of NED and LCRA/LIC in Vilnius, Lithuania, political advisor to Landsbergis, the head of Sąjūdis, and a person who describes fascist Lithuania as, quote, political, its period as political and constitutional stability and, quote, progress toward the restoration of full democracy. Just how ludicrous that is, we will see presently. Continuing with Banofsky's article, during the past 2 years, NED has granted $70,000 to LCRA-LIC. They are not obviously democratic organizations. Interjecting, that is something of an understatement, as we shall see. Founded in 1961 to, quote, provide the church under the Soviet oppression with spiritual and material assistance, unquote, LCRA's parent organization was the Lithuanian Roman Catholic Priests League. The quiet obscurity of this group belies the welcome they receive in the halls of power. LCRA Executive Director Father Kazimir Pugevcius, and that's spelled P-U-G-E-V-I-C-I-U-S, served in 1983 on an advisory committee to Senator Charles Percy, Republican of Illinois, then a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He was also welcomed in the Reagan White House in 1986. According to LCRA-LIC, its 1990 grant application to NED requested $618,300 and outlined its ambitious proposal as follows. Five separate pro-democratic organizations would receive technical and material aid. The first, a coalition of democratic parties enjoying broad support in Lithuania and capable of assuming leading roles in the new legislature, would receive computer and audio-visual equipment. Communications and video equipment will also be transported to the Sąjūdis Information Agency. According to NED, funds went only to Sąjūdis. That's an interjection by the author. Continuing, the second part of the project would ensure a continuous supply of much-needed paper for independent publishers and organizations. The dramatic increase in the number of democratic groups in Lithuania in the past year has caused severe shortages in the very limited pool of resources. Because of the greater degree of liberalization in Lithuania, this republic has emerged as the publishing center for the independent groups throughout the Soviet Union. Then continuing with Banofsky's text here. Within weeks of the arrival of these goods, traditional sources of information in Lithuania were suppressed or taken over by Sąjūdis. Nationalist sympathizers cut off broadcast programming from Moscow, and Lithuania was soon flooded with secessionist propaganda. In the ensuing election, Sąjūdis managed to dominate the scene by riding the crest of a wave of nationalist sentiment. It won a majority in the Seim, S-E-I-M, or Parliament. In March, a hastily convened session of Parliament voted for secession 91-38 in a matter of hours. Laws were passed curbing opposition newspapers and changing the flag and national anthem, reverting to versions in use during the nationalist period. As to whether or what of real substance had changed, Sąjūdis remained silent. Those last couple of sentences again. Laws were passed curbing opposition newspapers and changing the flag and national anthem, reverting to versions in use during the nationalist period. And a couple of pages later, there's a picture of the current Lithuanian emblem, and it shows a white knight on a red field, and it's captioned, "Under Sejudis, Lithuania has replaced hammer and sickle with the white knight on a red field used by the Svandoriai during the nationalist and fascist period of the 20s and 30s. We'll go into the Svandoriai, spelled S-A-V-A-N-D-O-R-I-A-I. In just a second, they were the fascist militia during the nationalist slash fascist period. They then, many of them anyway, jumped enthusiastically to the Third Reich and became Third Reich proxies during the Nazi occupation of the Baltics. So, summing up what we've seen in that particular section, again, the expansion of NED activity in Lithuania under the auspices of LCRA/LIC is paramount. It's worth noting that Sejudis was the main beneficiary, obviously, of this activity, in as much as William Huff was the chief advisor to Longsbergis, that they not only cut off broadcast programming from Moscow. Obviously, that's something which is going to greatly provoke Moscow. They voted for secession, and they advocated secession, but that they curbed opposition newspapers. That is anything but democratic. And they also changed the flag and the national anthem to those used during the fascist and nationalist period. Anything but democratic, and as we shall see, that is apparently symptomatic of exactly the kinds of forces being promoted in Lithuania. Continuing with Banovsky's article. "To Lithuanians old enough to remember the Second World War, the energetic activities of Sejudis, LCRA, and LIC must seem vaguely familiar. Landsbergis' father was a member of the Svandoriai, or nationalist militia, who fought the Russians in 1918 and 19, helped enforce the successive dictatorships of Voldemaris and Shimotona, and collaborated with the German occupation." The last sentence again. "Landsbergis' father was a member of the Svandoriai, or nationalist militia, who fought the Russians in 1918 and 19, helped enforce the successive dictatorships of Voldemaris and Shimotona, and collaborated with the German occupation. A reporter for Der Spiegel wrote in April of 1990 that, quote, everybody fears Sejudis. Anyone who attacks Sejudis is declared an enemy of the people by Landsbergis, and that happens very quickly, unquote. In addition, the Svandoriai, illegal under Soviet law, have been revived under the leadership of retired army officers." And again here, I think it's worth noting that Landsbergis' father was a member of the Svandoriai. In addition to banning opposition newspapers and advocating secession, the Svandoriai were revived, the national anthem and flag were changed back to those that were in use during the fascist and nationalist period, and as we shall see, the Svandoriai collaborated enthusiastically with the Third Reich during the German occupation of Lithuania. Continuing but with Banovsky's article. "Prior to the German invasion in June of 1944, a Berlin-based Lithuanian Information Bureau," unquote, the propaganda arm of the Lithuanian Activist Front, a nationalist exile organization, sent the following message into Lithuania. Quote, "Liberation is close at hand. Uprisings must be started in the cities, towns, and villages of Lithuania. Communists and other traitors must be arrested at once. The traitor will be pardoned only provided he proves beyond doubt that he has killed one Jew at least." In the book Blowback, Christopher Simpson crisply summarizes part of the, quote, liberation, unquote, that followed. "Municipal killing squads employing Lithuanian Nazi collaborators eliminated 46,692 Jews in fewer than 3 months, according to their own reports, mainly by combining clock-like liquidation of 500 Jews per day in the capital city of Vilnius with mobile, quote, cleanup, unquote, sweeps through the surrounding countryside. Such squads were consistently used by the Nazis for their dirty work that even the SS believed to be beneath the dignity of the German soldier." On August 4, 1941, the Lithuanian Activist Front, installed as a provisional government, taking care to cooperate fully with the... One more time. On August 4th, the Lithuanian Activist Front, installed as a provisional government, taking care to... This is a misprint. On August 4th, 1941, the Lithuanian Activist Front was installed as a provisional government, taking care to cooperate fully with the Nazis. The invaders let President Juozas Ambrazevičius, I'm going to call it, that name is Juozas, Ambrazevičius, I'll call it, one more time. The invaders let President Juozas Ambrazevičius' government stand for 3 months, during which time the worst of the killings occurred. After the war, Ambrazevičius fled to the U.S., where he changed his name to Brazaitis, B-R-A-Z-A-I-T-I-S. The crimes which prompted the post-war flight of many Lithuanian nationalists were starkly documented in the Jaeger Report, an unofficial count by the SS officer who supervised the massacres, and that's quoted here. Einsatzkommando 3, Kovno, December 1, 1941, secret state document. Summary of all executions carried out Summary of all executions carried out in the sphere of action of Einsatzkommando 3 up to December 1, 1941. Einsatzkommando 3 took over its duties as security police in Lithuania on the second day of July 1941. In compliance with my directives and on my order, the Lithuanian partisans have carried out the following executions. And then returning to Banovsky's text, what followed was a chronological accounting of the activities of the killing squads. Victims were neatly categorized: Jewish men, Jewish women, Jewish children, Poles, Lithuanian communists, Russian communists, intellectual Jews, lunatics, gypsies, political instructors, Armenians. After the first 3,000 deaths, Jaeger apparently decided that the Lithuanian nationalists alone were not equal to the task. Again, quoting from the Third Reich document, the Jaeger Report, by the way, an SS report, after organizing a mobile unit under SS Obersturmführer Hamann, H-A-M-A-N-N, and 8 to 10 tried men of EK3, the following actions were carried out in cooperation with the Lithuanian partisans. Before the EK3 assumed security duties, the partisans themselves killed 4,000 Jews through pogroms and executions. I can state today that the goal of solving the Jewish problem in Lithuania has been reached by EK3. There are no Jews in Lithuania anymore except the work Jews and their families. The goal to clear Lithuania of Jews could be achieved only thanks to men who adopted my goal without any reservations and managed to secure the cooperation of the Lithuanian partisans and the respective civil offices. One more time, quoting the last couple of sentences, the goal to clear Lithuania of Jews could only be achieved thanks to men who adopted my goal without any reservations and managed to secure the cooperation of the Lithuanian partisans and the respective civil offices. The final tally of those killed was 137,346. As the report clearly indicates, the Nazis were assisted by both the paramilitary bands associated with the nationalists and by those in positions of authority, including members of the Catholic clergy. Well, summing up what we looked at in that particular section of the article, we have looked at what happened in Lithuania under the Third Reich occupation, and it should be noted that, again, Landsbergis, the head of Sejudis, aided by NED and LCRALIC, Landsbergis's father was a member of the Svandorii, the fascist-slash-nationalist militia, which collaborated enthusiastically with the Third Reich. Recall that Sejudis and Landsbergis changed the Lithuanian flag and national anthem to those in use during the fascist and nationalist period. It should be noted also that the Svandorii, illegal under Soviet law, were revived by Landsbergis and Sejudis, and this is an organization which collaborated enthusiastically with the Third Reich in their brutal excesses in Lithuania during the Second World War. It should also be noted here that Archbishop Marcinkus, we looked at in connection with the Vatican banking scandals and with the P2 machinations inside the Vatican, is also Lithuanian, also from the Chicago area. And as we're going to see, Bishop Burgess, if that's the correct pronunciation of the name, is also from that area. Note also, before we move on, that the fellow Jesus Ambrzevicius, Ambrzevicius, I'm going to call it Ambrzevicius, again, fled to the United States, which has proved such a very safe haven for so many fascists and Nazis over the years. Continuing with the next section here of Banowski's article, as Auxiliary Bishop of Kaunas, or Kovno, K-A-U-N-A-S, or K-O-V-N-O, during the German occupation, Bishop Vincentius Burgess, founder of LCRA-LIC, lent his spiritual authority to fascism. When the Nazis retreated, so did he. First to Germany, then to Chicago, where he has lived, worked, and carried the nationalist banner for 25 years. Bear in mind, this is the fellow who founded LCRA-LIC, the organization being used by NED and the U.S. National Security Establishment to interfere in the affairs of Lithuania. The clergy hated socialism for very clear reasons. The socialist government which came to power in 1939 had separated church and state. Church property was confiscated, including large farms where peasants labored under semi-feudal conditions eliminated elsewhere in Europe centuries before. Clergy were removed from government and the educational system, two institutions where they had long wielded powerful influence. Archbishop Shverbekis, I'm going to call it, S-K-V-I-R-E-C-K-S, Burgess Superior, documented the bishop's collaborationist activities with evident satisfaction. The Archbishop's diary for July 1, 1941, reveals that Burgess made contact, quote, with the representative of the German government for the Baltic states, Dr. Gruffe, G-R-O-F-F-E, formerly head of Gestapo in East Prussia, who proposed that he, Burgess, should make an appeal to the people to behave quietly and pursue their daily business with confidence without any fear that they might be harmed. One more time, Archbishop Shverekis, Burgess Superior, documented the bishop's collaborationist activities with evident satisfaction. The Archbishop's diary for July 1, 1941, reveals that Burgess made contact, quote, with the representative of the German government for the Baltic states, Dr. Gruffe, formerly head of Gestapo in East Prussia, who proposed that he, Burgess, should make an appeal to the people to behave quietly and pursue their daily business with confidence without any fear that they might be harmed, unquote. Bear in mind, once again, the fellow that Archbishop Shverekis is referring to is his immediate subordinate, Burgess, who is the head and founder, or was the founder, I should say, of LCRA-LIC, the main U.S. vehicle for involvement in Lithuania. Continuing here with the article, on June 30th of 1941, the Archbishop had written, quote, the ideas in Mein Kampf on the question of the Bolshevik Jewish contagion are splendid. They prove that Hitler is not only an enemy of the Jews, but generally speaking, has the right ideas. One more time, this is the fellow who founded LCRA-LIC, Archbishop Vincentius Burgess. On June 30th, 1941, the Archbishop had written, quote, the ideas in Mein Kampf on the question of the Bolshevik Jewish contagion are splendid. They prove that Hitler is not only an enemy of the Jews, but generally speaking has the right ideas, unquote. An appeal to welcome the Nazis was broadcast by radio, then published in a major Kaunas newspaper signed by Shverekis, Burgess, and Vicar General Saulus. That's S-A-U-L-Y-S. Their signatures were also on a formal telegram of thanks to Hitler for, quote, Lithuania's liberation, sent in the middle of July of 1941. That telegram and those obnoxious views, again, coming from Burgess. Continuing with Banowski's text, as the Nazis and their collaborators implemented the diabolical logic of Mein Kampf, Burgess, quote, set an example for the entire population by forbidding the clergy to aid the Jews in any way, unquote. He also urged from his pulpit and via radio and newspaper that Lithuanians cooperate with the Nazis. When the Soviet Army, led by its 16th Lithuanian Division, drove the Nazis out in 1944, Burgess fled to safety in Germany and then to the U.S. Sent to the Archdiocese of Chicago, he helped launch Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid in 1961 and served as LCRA president until 1986. He is now chair of the board of directors. Well, that passage, tragically and disgustingly, speaks very clearly for itself. Archbishop Burgess obviously was an enthusiastic Third Reich proxy and worked hand in glove with the Third Reich, and not only was it a practical consideration, he obviously was in agreement with the goals of the Third Reich. Another interesting connection here is discussed by, and it's also worth noting again that he fled first to Germany, then to the U.S., and settled in Chicago, which is where Archbishop Marcinkus also comes from, himself a Lithuanian, and in light of the pro-fascist and pro-U.S. intelligence activities of the P2, founded by Licio Gelli, himself an Oberleutnant in the SS, Archbishop Marcinkus' situation and possible connection to Archbishop Burgess and the events and elements we're talking about here are to be borne in mind. Continuing here with the very last section of this article that I'm going to read, a couple of other interesting connections here of LCRA, LIC. Director of Special Projects for LCRA, LIC is Raza Razgaitis, R-A-Z-G-A-I-T-I-S, stepdaughter of accused war criminal Jurgis Juodis, J-U-R-G-I-S, J-U-O-D-I-S. Because of his involvement as a nationalist military officer in the massacres of 1941, Juodis became the subject of a Justice Department Office of Special Investigations, or OSI, inquiry in 1981. In addition to her work with LCRA, Razgaitis is head of, quote, Americans for Due Process, unquote, an organization, quote, formed solely to challenge the activities of the Justice Department's War Crimes Unit, unquote. She is also a friend of Patrick Buchanan, through whom she gained access to the Reagan White House when Buchanan was communications director. Just as Landsbergis, the head of Sejudis' father, was a member of the Sfondoria, the fascist militia, and just as he revived not only the fascist national anthem and flag in Lithuania, and revived the Sfondoria, the enthusiastic collaborators with the Nazis and the excesses I've described here, so this other key member of LCRA, the director of special projects, is the daughter of another accused war criminal, also tight with Patrick Buchanan. Continuing here, AFL-CIO President Lane Kirkland is a longtime member of the Cold Warrior Clique Committee on the Present Danger and supports CIA manipulation of labor movements around the globe. Kirkland has welcomed Landsbergis as a friend during his U.S. visits. Kirkland's name was on an open letter to President Bush published in the April 22, 1990 New York Times, calling for immediate recognition of Lithuanian independence. Kirkland is on the NED board. It's interesting here that we find AFL-CIO President Lane Kirkland working with these same sorts of individuals. I have spoken for many years about the coming of fascism to America. The use by the CIA and the U.S. National Security Establishment of the AFL-CIO and other labor organizations to promote political reaction and fascism around the world, I think indicates, to a certain extent at least, the extent to which the United States is becoming national socialist. We have labor basically being bent to do the will of the fascists and essentially becoming an extension of fascism and the U.S. National Security Establishment. Not all of labor, obviously, but key elements of it. In this case, Lane Kirkland. Well, obviously, this is a disturbing article. I'm going to take a very short musical break, come back, and I'm going to discuss the implications of this article and read the last couple of articles that I'm going to have in tonight's prepared portion. And that will sum up the first installment of this very important archive show, The Destabilization of the USSR, Prelude to World War III?